first people I met in
Are y'all
office.
Recording?
Yes!
No, y'all aren't recording.
Yeah, we are.
Why won't you tell me to put the mic in my mouth?
Yeah.
Not in your mouth.
I don't know what y'all be getting into.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Okay. Right. Continue, Evelyn, as you said.
So, the way we met was at work.
Yeah.
He was my first friend.
That's why I keep it going.
I had just joined the company. He did the orientation for me. He's very nice. Met all my IT needs, and then later on we just got to talking, and he invited me to lunch. Mm. And I was like, oh, yeah, I would love to go to lunch with you. So he took me to lunch. He paid for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know,
Afo is a gentleman, man.
Afo's a gentleman. He's not.
Afo's trash.
Ooh.
Don't be deceived.
No, I know he's not perfect, but he did. He was my first friend. He took me out. We went to lunch. It was cool. And he knew I had a man before he asked me, so it wasn't even nothing shady.
Genuine.
It was a genuine thing, and we became really good friends from there, and we built up this whole little community of black people in the workplace.
Nice, man. Black people just getting together as usual.
Yeah. This was even before Wakanda. No, I got my own charger.
Did you guys? Because you guys used to have meetups and stuff at work, right?
Yeah, we used to have lunch together. We used to all have
in
lunch
the office.
Together. In the office, all.
Did you ever
people.
Get those stares of like, what are they doing? Like, what those black people?
They even. What's his face? I won't say his name, but what's his face has said like. People in the office notice that all the black people go have lunch together. And I'm like, all the white people go have lunch together.
Yeah,
like,
no one
like,
saying that. The Asian people do it
all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, like the Indian people in the office, every place I've ever worked, Indian people will be the most gangster. They will come to work, be eating foods with their hands. They speak
the roti,
their language.
The roti, everything.
They speak the language in the office. And then when you go into the kitchen, they be like, you be trying to warm your food. They be looking at you like, excuse you. You see, we have a little. I'll be like, yo. Like, the rest of us just trying to have a little lunch, just trying to, you know, share a little bit of jokes. But, yeah. But whatever. White people are always going to be white people, so.
And then, so how did you meet Didi? Didi.
So I met Didi.
Hey, Didi.
Hey, Didi.
Hey.
So Didi and I met, I want to say, coming on 2 years now, 2-3 years now. So as we told you previously, there's a sizable black expat population that live in London. Mm-hmm. You don't know who we are, but we live and work amongst you.
My God.
Just like the CIA.
We live and work amongst you. You may see us on the tube judging you. So there was one of my friends who's now, she moved back to New York, but she was having at the time her 2-year in London anniversary party, which was coinciding with a party for a now mutual friend of Didi and I had that she was also going back. And so there was just like, we all went out this night in Shoreditch, and I just met like a whole bunch of people. And then it turned out that Didi was from Brooklyn, and obviously with me being from the Bronx, there was a natural synergy.
There.
Yes,
awesome.
So,
and how many people are in this WhatsApp group? This black New Yorkers, CIA.
It's just expat Americans.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a couple Spanish people in there too.
Oh, for real?
I asked Evelyn to meet them last year. She still hasn't responded.
Oh, okay.
Did she leave that message on red or?
You know I did.
She probably did. I can't remember, but I did ask you.
I thought you're too young.
What do you mean?
Everybody, I'm like the youngest. That's young.
Evelyn, you are not the youngest person.
I am one of the youngest people. Who's younger than me?
I don't know. You know,
all those like new people, but
yeah. All those new people are younger than you, actually.
Yeah, but like,
okay,
yeah.
What are you gonna talk to a 32-year-old woman about?
You don't know.
You know, to be fair, I've been saying for a while that I wanted to do an event where we would bring a Brit. I need to copyright.
We're gonna have an event where you could like everybody bring a black British friend.
That would be sick.
Three British black friends.
Yeah, but that was gonna be for a hookup. This would be like
a wasn't for a hookup.
What's this, a networking thing?
It was not really.
It was not.
Hold on. When we were going to do it at work, it was because I wanted you to meet people your age group to like expand your circle. So I wanted to do it as like a hookup thing. But what she's talking about, it would literally be like bring a British friend because we always.
Just to facilitate
the conversation, the dialogue.
They don't hang around with black British people, by the way.
Do you guys not have it? Do you have any black British friends?
I feel other than Afo and us guys?
Marrying one, so
yeah, you're marrying a black British person. Yeah, that counts for both of us, actually. She took one for the team.
Do you know what? It's just this is gonna sound so fucked up, But you don't really...
That's Evelyn speaking, by the way.
We don't have to make an... Oh, no, let me rephrase this. Okay, it's just there are so many Americans that I just... No, here's the truth. Here's the real truth. It's hard to get to know them because they don't... Because y'all don't interact the way we interact.
Who, British guys?
Black British people. Y'all don't interact the way we interact. Like, when I meet Black British people at work, I've never met someone at work who was, like, open like Afu was. And even before I joined the company we were at together, Afu will tell you, there were Black people in that company, they never all did lunch together.
Right.
Yeah. Right? They never all did lunch together. They never chilled together. There was no WhatsApp group. It took me coming in, like, why are there all these Black people here and y'all not friends? And that's different, because if you work at any company in America, when I was working back at home, I joined this company, this Black girl, bless her, TT. I remember when I first joined the company, she was like, listen, the MD, we don't fuck with him. That nigga's an asshole. We don't fuck with him. Like, it just from, like, jump. And it's different here.
Was he a Black guy?
The girl I'm talking about. Yeah,
oh, the girl. Okay.
Yeah. In any company in America, there's always that, like, communal Black. And that's how a lot of people meet professional, in your professional circles. But it's different here. Like, Black people here just be like... They be in a silo.
We were talking about this corporate spiel and these languages and words. They are in silos. Black people do that. It's true. Very, very true. So what's your experience been like, Didi, as a Black American woman in the UK? Firstly, how long have you been here? And yeah, give us
sure.
your story.
So I am Evelyn. If you let me talk for a second,
how much money do you want?
I don't think that was the question. So,
but answer it though.
Okay, so I've been here for I guess 3.5 years. I came here initially in September 2014 as a part of a dual degree master's program. I will if you let me have some mic time to myself, Ev. Ev is like the hype man that you didn't hire, but they keep showing up to your shows. Anyway, so yeah, I came here September 2014 as part of a dual degree master's program. First year in New York, second year in London. Had no intention of staying in London. Spent the entire year calling London a broke down New York City.
Wow.
I mean, I'm still here, guys. There's a happy ending to this story, but don't act like your tube is 24 hours. Like, don't act like you can find a store open after 5 p.m. on a Sunday. But anyway, so when you think about it, so
depends where you live.
I mean, this is true too, and I do. Yeah, I could go to Liverpool Street, but still, it's like the principle that a lot of things are closed early. But anyway, so didn't intend to stay. Ended up getting a job working in financial services, and I was like, okay, you know, I'll give it a try. Like, I could always go back to New York. And then when I started working, I ended up meeting this expat group, like large Black American expat group, and started building a life in this country and volunteering and traveling the UK. Like I basically became attached. Like I, you know, moved to a neighborhood that I loved and I still live in, and really started building like a life here. And so that's, I mean, it's been good. I think, you know, Evelyn said earlier, I haven't, you know, I think it's very easy as an expat here to kind of fall in with the people from where you're from. And every group does that. Like, you meet people from Spain here and they just hang out with a bunch of people from Spain. Same thing with people from Italy. Same thing with people from, you know, Poland. Like, you have that comfort from back home. So it's not so much I don't F with Black British people. It's just, like Evelyn said, it's easier to be around people that know you and get you. And then British people, y'all just not the most outgoing, be my friend type. Like, hey, you want to hang out? Like, it's funny. Like very scary when you meet a British person
and you.
No, I mean, like, I've met Black British people or even British people in general that I think are really cool, and I don't know how to take that next step to be like, hey, do you want to hang out? Because, like, I'm afraid they're going to be like, oh, you Americans, like, clingy.
I think that's a very London thing as well. I won't lie. I think that's a very London thing. If you go outside of London, Black people are people generally are a lot more sociable, a lot more amicable, a lot more friendly. We'll say, you know, like Americans, the thing I always say about Americans, whenever I go over there, hey, good morning, how are you? And they do that, and they're being genuine. Whereas here in London, you say hello to someone, it's like, why are you even talking to me? Don't you dare. Do you know what I mean?
They'll even look at you like,
yeah,
why are you looking at me?
Why are you looking at me? So I think that's a London thing.
Because you can keep that same, it's not like, what you're describing is like a Southern thing, because we don't do that in New York. Like, okay. I don't, you talk to me on the train, I'm assuming it's fighting words. Don't talk to me on the two train.
You're about to get mugged.
Yeah, it's about to be a problem. But it's more like, in the context of like work, it's hard to make the transition, because there are like Black people in the office that like I see, and it's just like, do you know what it is? They don't give me the nod.
They don't give you the nod.
They don't give you the nod.
Wait, pause.
Because black people here, we give each other the nod all the time.
Maybe I don't think we do, man.
Thank you.
We don't.
When you see a brother, bro.
I get nods.
Maybe you're talking about
you don't. You don't give the nod. You give the scared kind of like, oh, can I? You know, look to the left.
Is that like a get out look?
It's
kind
of yeah, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Y'all don't give the nod. Y'all don't give the nod. And even like in the even when I see black women, black men, they don't give the nod. And I always tell you, there's this one black guy when I was working at clients that he used to kill me. Every day I would see him. When he see me, he started doing ceiling inspections. Like,
wow.
And I'm just like, so just come in, and then you know all these white people walk by. Hey, how you doing? Like. That's common.
It's really bad. It's really bad.
Really,
and you know what? I think black people are a lot more competitive with one another in this, in London. That's why you don't get that kind of camaraderie.
It's not that I wouldn't even say that it's competitive. It's just that there isn't enough space for more than one at the top here.
Yes, which that's is what I mean.
So
yeah,
I guess you have to be more competitive if you think it's either going to be me or this other nigga. Whereas at home, I'll just be like, all these niggas is coming up with me. But it's different.
America's a lot more meritocratic, no?
That's a good point, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Circle back to me later.
What do you mean meritocratic? What do you mean?
In the sense of you work hard. So meritocratic is like you.
No,
you
I know get what somewhere. It means.
Yeah, no,
because
Afro asked me to define it. It basically, you get somewhere based on merit. So how hard you work is the level that you can attain to. Okay. Yes, there are glass ceilings, I acknowledge that. But I feel like that society is a lot more, like you see, I mean, this is just from my limited knowledge, but I would assume that there are a lot more senior black, you know, managing directors and that kind of stuff in financial services or just generally in business.
Because you ask that question all the time. Especially
whereas here, it's limited.
Yeah, I was like, why are the black MPs?
Yeah, exactly. And they're hardly any. We have one in my bank.
So I think it's a function of two things. One, it's not that I would say they're more or less competitive. I just think in America, because I can walk into a company and see 5 black MDs, I already know that, I already know I can get there. Mm. Even if it's just 5 out of 300, I already know 5 people I've got there. Whereas here, you might mess around and be the first. Mm.
Do you know what? You know the few that we see, I immediately think they're cool.
Ooh, that's some strong words.
Yeah, because I'm just like, how'd you get there?
But do you know what? No.
Their behavioral patterns.
Yeah, I know what he means. Yeah, the people that we used to work with, they weren't like, you remember.
They weren't for the people.
They weren't for the people. No. A lot of people.
They wanted to show light and spotlight themselves. Like,
I'm different.
I'm different.
You know, that's like, I'm not like the rest of
the people. I'm not trying to let you lot know how to get up here. I'm trying to show you that I've done it.
The thing is, I think, you know, I've always said, I feel like when you come to this country at first, like as a black person, there's this very seductive notion that this is truly a post-racial society. Mm. I remember when I first moved here, seeing like all these like mixed groups of friends, feeling really sad about back home because like growing up, it was like, you know, kids of all races will play together from like, you know, when they're in primary school. And then you get to like middle school, which is like from like 11 to 13. And things kind of start to taper off. And by the time you get to high school, it's like, okay, white kids sit here, black kids sit here, Hispanic kids sit here. And that's where, like, you can have like a best friend. And it's just like, well, we just can't really sit together at lunch. Like, it's just, you know, and it depends on where you are. But that was my experience in New York. And it's a lot of people's experiences. There's a book called Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria by this like really great black scholar. I think,
sociologist.
I think here it's like very seductive to be like, oh, they've, you know, you see all these interracial couples and it's like, oh, race isn't a thing. But I think that underneath that, you see that like a lot of people feel like they have to assimilate like into this idea of like British identity. And what is British identity at the root of it? Like, I don't necessarily think that British identity at the root of itself is like blackness. I think British identity at the root of itself is like, it's, you know, it's the royal family. This is me as an outsider, but it's like, it's a very white identity.
I would say a lot of us don't even identify with British culture,
I don't.
If you ask black people here, like, you know, where are you from? More time they will tell you where their parents are from or, you know, where they were originally, you know, from. They won't say, oh, I'm British. I have some friends that do identify with being British, but I think that's because their parents were born here as well, so they kind of have lost that. They've kind of lost that home feeling. Whereas for me, so personally, as a second generation Jamaican, I would identify. Someone's asked me, "Where are you from?" I say, "I'm Jamaican," because my household is Jamaican. I grew up with Jamaican values. My parents, patois was spoken in my house. So, British to me ain't really. I was born here, but that ain't where I identify my culture personally.
Yeah, and I get that it's supposed to be like an inclusive identity as opposed to like I'm English or I'm Scottish. So I get the nuance of that, and I guess kind of I say that the exported image of Britishness, of Britain, isn't necessarily a multicultural identity. Like, and that's not to say that it isn't when you actually get here and see it on the ground, but like coming into this country, like in my mind, Britishness and like whiteness were synonymous. In the same way that I guess, you know, we were talking earlier about like Chinese Jamaicans, and it's just like it's a huge Chinese community in Jamaica. But when you think of Jamaica, you think about like Bob Marley. So it's not it's not a value judgment that I'm making, but it's just kind of like this is what I've seen from the outside, you know, looking in.
Yeah.
And I think with Black British people, what we've done, I think over the past 20, 30 years, we've tried to carve out our own identity.
Yeah.
Because as much as, like, obviously I'm Nigerian, the last time I was in Nigeria was 2 years ago, but as much as I am Nigerian, and my values are Nigerian, my household is Nigerian, you know, my mum was born here, but she moved back to Nigeria after, I think, 3-4 years, spent her childhood there. As much as I am Nigerian, there are a few things that I've picked up from this country that I have, you know, I've used to be able to create some form of identity here as well. Because if I go back to Nigeria,
you're British.
Yeah, immediately think I'm British.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I'm
Which
here,
is the same for me as well.
If I'm here, I'm not going to say I'm British. I'm going to say I'm Nigerian.
So you're in this kind of limbo place of I'm neither this nor am I that, but you identify with both, but you're neither.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a really weird place to be in. But having said that, so
I'd like to be in that segue, by the way.
Nice segue.
that's that alley-oop right
that's
there.
That's an alley-oop. So having said that, today's that was good.
I'm trying to learn from my future husband. I'm like,
I used to play them video games, them NBA video games when we were younger. The alley-oop. So today's topic, Evelyn, do you want to introduce it for us?
Okay. So today's topic.
Topic.
Let me break it down. Sorry, I was trying to run it by Poppy, my partner. Okay. Do Black Americans allow space for other forms of blackness? That's the topic question. Mm-hmm. And to put a little bit of meat on the bone,
please,
as they say.
Thank you.
So this topic came up because this is something that Didi and I argue about all the time while we're supposed to be working.
Excuse me, I work. I do the work. This is during my lunch break. And I'm still working then too.
So we're always talking about like whether Black American, like whether there's a distinctive culture here, how are we engaging in the culture? Are we almost, as Black Americans, kind of overpowering it? How do we engage with it? And I think the best example we can see, or it's the real topic to pull from, is when Samuel L. Jackson gave the interview, I think it was 187, bro,
yeah.
And he said he would have liked to have seen what a brother,
I think he might have said American brother.
No, he was like, I would have loved to have seen what a brother, like a Black brother, would have done with that role, speaking about Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out. And he also said, oh, because he was cheaper and blah, 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 blah. But he was saying he wanted to see what that role would have been like with a Black American in it as opposed to a Black British person in it. And then
trying to play an American.
Yeah, trying to play an American. And that there was a level of like understanding or something, or of a jump that Chris had to make that he probably wouldn't have had to jump had it been, say, Michael B. Jordan or Chadwick doing that.
Okay, should I?
Go ahead.
Okay. So when the comments came out, it was like super controversial. I, with respect to him saying that he felt like a Black American would have brought something different to the role, and it was specifically because his extended comment was saying, you know, with interracial dating, you know, they've been doing that for 100 years, whereas it's like a different experience in America. On that respect, I completely agree. So I think, you know, as I said, when I came here, I was really amazed at how multicultural the city was in terms of like actual friend groups, like people being, you know, together, and same thing with couples. Growing up in New York City, you don't really see mixed race couples to the same race that you do here. To the same extent rather that you do here. Like, neighborhoods are very specific to race. Like, if you are Caribbean, you live in Flatbush or Canarsie. If you are Okay, I'm talking about Brooklyn right now. We could talk about the Bronx later, or maybe we could not talk about the Bronx. But, you know, if you are Italian, you live in certain neighborhoods. If you're Russian, you live in certain neighborhoods. If you're African-American, maybe you live in, like, you know, Bed-Stuy, Fort Greene. Like, things are that nuanced
and
specific.
If you're Asian, you'll live in Astoria. And when we say Asian,
yeah, or like Flushing,
like Chinese.
Like, okay. East Asian, yeah. So you don't really see, like, interracial couples. And I think that, you know, even growing up, I remember my best friend was dating a guy. He was biracial. And some black guys made some comment to her and the guy on the street because they thought that her boyfriend was white. I was like, oh, you with that white guy? Like, there's still a lot of pushback. I know. I was like, it was the Israelites. So she, I don't know if you guys have Israelites. I don't know if you guys have Israelites here. Okay, yeah. So
yeah,
they,
we do have
but
to,
it's like
have
you, you know, being an interracial couple in places, like some places like LA, San Francisco is more common, but like on the East Coast, where Samuel L. Jackson, I think, might be from. I know he, yeah. Like, you just don't really see that. And it's still, there's still a lot of barriers to being in an interracial couple. So I do agree that Daniel Kaluuya has a different experience being a black guy from London versus if you're a black guy in New York City. Like, black guy in New York City is like, you dating a white girl? Like, oh, you basically can't bring her around your friends and family. Like, it's still, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with that, but it's, there's like, there are huge hurdles to being in an interracial relationship in, you know, in places like New York City, Washington D.C. Yeah, way more.
Like, I am, y'all don't let me get on my soapbox, but I'm always, like, amazed at how many black men and white women. I'm like, wow, so y'all really out here, like, prospering. It's just, it's not, I'm used to seeing, like, black men, black women, black love.
You know, I think a really
black
good
children.
I think a really good example is, like, last year there was an article that came out with this. It was a white woman that had dated Obama, and she was saying that he, do you remember this, when she was saying that they had dated and he, you know, they ended up not working out. He was in love with her, supposedly proposed twice, I think, was in love with her, but had apprehension about how far he could go politically if he were married to a white woman. And I definitely do think, like, I don't know that Barack Obama would have been electable had he been married to a white woman. Like, it's just, you know, I know, like it's just, I mean,
yes.
Like, it, yeah. Like, if you really,
hold on, you have to understand the stalwart of the Democratic Party is black women. So if you want to win the black vote, you have to win black women.
Okay.
I would struggle to see how Barack would have
done
bridged
that
gap without a dark skinned black woman from the South Side of Chicago.
Wow. Yeah, it just, it's one of those things. And this is, again, it's not like a value judgment. America has a lot of really fucked up history with race. And a lot of it is also like, you know, back in the day, if you were a black man with a white woman, like 50 years ago, like, you could get killed for it. And nobody would be confused about the fact that you got killed because you had a white wife. Because it would be like, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
Like, they'd just be like, I mean, what did he do? What a white, I mean, Emmett Till, I think, is a really good example. Like, Emmett Till, 14-year-old black guy, not even guy, 14-year-old black boy that was murdered for supposedly whistling. Yeah, supposedly whistling
at
a white woman.
Which we now know was a lie.
Which we now know
she made up.
Which, you know, right before she died, she admitted that she made it up. But it's just, you know, that's how dangerous being, you know, in an interracial relationship or being interested in white women, I guess more specifically, because historically you have had white men in relationships with black women, not necessarily consensual. I mean, look at light-skinned black people in America. Where did they come from? Like, you know, rape during slavery oftentimes. But, yeah, I say that to say, I think we have this huge history behind lack of interracial relationships. It was illegal, you know, up until the 60s, yeah. I'm sorry, I feel like I've said a lot, but
it's just going.
And this is something that as a black American and also an African American, I don't know if we're going to touch on the distinction that I make with that, but this is history that you know growing up. Like, these are stories that your grandparents and your parents tell you. So if you hear all these stories, it's bold to then go out and be like, I'm going to still be in this interracial relationship anyway. You're like, ooh, I'm just, I don't know. That's a lot. That's a lot that I got to, you know, I got to go through.
That's not to say that there's no interracial relationship. Y'all know.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Y'all know that I have.
But some hurdles.
You know, y'all know that I have it close to me. You know.
I do also.
Y'all know that it's close to me, but I just think it's different. Believe it or not, I actually think it's a little bit different here. Like, I see it like.
I think it's a lot of bit different here.
It is a bit different here. Because here it seems like, we were talking about this at this dinner party last night. What's her name said? British life, white wife.
No, British wife, British life.
British.
And
British,
I think it was me that said that. Yeah, British life.
Someone said it. Again, there were some cookies going around.
I wouldn't know anything about that. I was like,
yeah, British wife, British life. British wife, Brock. Just say it again.
I was like, yeah, it was like British wife. Life, or just talking about, and again, I love history. Like, they were talking about when people first came over on the Windrush in 1948, that it was all men or mostly men, and like these men needed wives. Like, they, you know, exactly. They showed up, and who did they marry? Like, they married white British women, or maybe they married Asian women. I don't know any of the men personally, but you know, my assumption. But yeah, it's way more prevalent here. I think it's way more accepted here. So yeah, in that aspect, I think Samuel L. Jackson was right. Like, a Black American guy would have had that whole history of Emmett Till and Loving B. Virginia and, like, you know, looking.
Daniel, speaking about, he must have had that. He knew that going on.
Did he know that?
He had to.
I don't know that he knew that.
And I don't even mean just him specifically. I'm just saying, as someone who's.
I mean, he's like an actor, not like a PhD in, like, race.
But you don't have to have. Do you have a PhD in race, Uncle? Do you not know that there's a history between Black men and white women?
Yes.
And taking that role, he must have known that. Maybe he wouldn't have known it to the great detail as someone, as a Black person living in America. But he would have known and been exposed to it, because it's not like every Black person in this country is in a relationship with a white person. I think. So it's not like it's.
Let the British people.
No, like, me being Black and then in Britain as well. I remember one time when I was younger, my dad said, it would be nice for you to find a Ugandan of the Baganda tribe wife. So even if it's not Black and white, it's still going to be African and African. I know some people that prefer to have, some people that are Nigerian that prefer to have a Nigerian husband or wife. Then have someone from another country. And if they do bring in someone else, then their parents will be like, oh, wait, what are you doing? Like, they might as well have been Yoruba. Do you know what I mean? No matter white or Black or whatever, if they're not your tribe, they're not from your country, we're not accepting them, or we're going to basically make it long for you. So I think Daniel being Ugandan, and by the looks of him, he looks like Baganda as well. I reckon his parents would have had that same thing, unless they were fully, like, raised here as well. So he probably would have had some form of, get yourself a nice Ugandan girl and settle down. If he says Kenyan, they might be like, oh, no. Nigerian, no. Like, so no, because, like, that's far. Do you know what I mean? My mom told my sister, I remember my mom told my sister, like, she was like, what about the Nigerian guy? She was like, no. Jamaican, no.
My mom's
Ugandan. Yeah. Ugandan. Ugandan, she's like, yeah. She's like, what about Kenyan? She's like, they're okay. They're all right.
They're
like,
on the east
but
side.
Yeah, because they're on the east side. But, like,
look at this east versus
that's what
west.
I'm, yeah. But that's the thing. It's just like, I think there's always a level of you can't marry or you can't get with this person because they're not one of us.
That's true.
There's always a one of us, even in Uganda, like, that's probably the maddest one. It only recently kind of broke, but in my dad's and my parents' time, tribes are a big thing. Mm. Like, my dad will always be like, yeah, we're the main tribe of Uganda. We're the Baganda people, and, you know, we're better than the other tribes in Uganda. I'm like, but where were Ugandan? And they're like, yeah, but we're better than everyone else. like, see that? And I think, yeah, is it like colorism, basically, isn't it? Yeah, it's like a form of, like, because, yeah, Baganda look different as well. Skin color is different. There's some people that are lighter. There's some people that are darker. I don't even look like I'm from my tribe, though, but.
Like, are you sure you're not adopted? Actually.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Did he be stirring up some trouble? Like,
Mom?
Mom?
When that whole incident with Samuel Jackson, Danny Kaluuya happened, I think what I got from it is that I personally believe that Samuel Jackson was...
hater.
Not a hater.
Say it with your chest, Apple.
I rate Samuel because he's been about for time, like, coming to America, like, he's an OG, but stop hating.
We're not praising,
like,
Samuel right now.
Yeah.
We're not praising him. Basically, I feel as if that he was just being ignorant to the experience of Black British people in this country. It's easy to just... I'll give you a great example. We were in Dallas, so when we were out in Dallas, and then we saw that army vet, and then he was like... army vet. And then he was asking for
money.
Why are you
doing that? Why are you doing that in money? Yeah,
because remember, Banky said that they're all army vets.
Oh!
I don't know if he's an army vet.
Fair enough, yeah.
So he was asking for money, so I gave him some money. And then he noticed my accent. He was like, oh, where are you from?
I said, I'm from London. He's like, they got black people in London?
That's a good imitation of the accent. You guys are A1.
We watched a lot of American TV growing up, man.
Oh my God, do not encourage him. There's nothing worse than British people do. Oh God, please don't.
You know, I really rate them when they do. The first time someone said that, I was like, did they just say rape? Like, I just, it was, I was like, that really raped them. I was like, wait, whoa.
When I was in school and someone was like, oh yeah, she's a fit bird. I was like, what?
That was a fit bird. She's a fit bird.
Bird.
That must be a Manchester bird. Thing.
Yeah.
Nah, fit bird. They cockney thing. Yeah, fit bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say that.
People say that in London.
Must be white people.
Yeah, black people don't say that stuff.
Yeah, he was like, she's a fit bird. And I'm thinking like, she's a bird. Like, oh, she's a bird.
Oh, like a chicken head.
She's a bird. So
wait, okay, yeah, back to our first story. So the bet came for you.
I personally feel as if that he was just ignorant to black British experiences, but I also believe that that's with a lot of Americans that I've spoken to, I feel as if that is their mindset as well. Even when we went to the pool party, oh, you're from London. The guy that was looking at my driver's license, my provisional.
Oh yeah,
people are shocked that black people actually live in London.
Yeah,
but.
Which it's brings us back to the original question.
Yeah, it does bring
do they allow for other forms of blackness? What I wanted to say as well, yeah, on that Samuel L. Jackson thing is
ting.
A little bit of power landing in there. But even though you guys said, even though there's a lot of interracial couples in this country,
yeah,
it still doesn't mean that they haven't had their struggle. And true. And if we look at Get Out as a interracial couples,
okay.
So if we look at Get Out, yeah, the whole thing is about, you know, he's, you know, bringing the black guy over to the family, the white evangelical pastors. Yeah. They're like, yeah, come on in. There's so many symbols in that film that I could just go on for days, but I won't. But like interracial couples in this country, you might find normally the case that, you know, they love each other, but they can't go to the parents because the parents don't approve of black people, or likewise, the black parents don't approve of the white girl and stuff like that. So I feel like to say that just because there's loads of interracial couples in the UK means that we won't be able to identify with the struggles of having an interracial relationship. You don't know what actually happens within that relationship. It happens a lot and it's frequent, but there are struggles, bro. Interracial couples on the road, you see them, everyone kind of gives them that eye. Now it's fashionable, like YouTube girls are doing it, like Jamie and Nikki and yeah. What's that other one? Patricia Bright and her man. Yeah, and everyone's like, I got my white man and all of that. But it comes with struggle, man. And I think as a black British actor, you would still be able to portray that as well. That's how I feel.
Do you know what? I think people do get the eye.
Even now.
I know
people personally, yeah.
Yeah.
Like friends that...
And in the interracial relationships, what is it? Is it
like a black woman?
So it's
a black guy, a white girl.
No, it tends to be. No, it's commonly a black man and a white woman.
Yeah, yeah.
A white ginger hair woman. Just to throw it out there.
I seen it.
Okay, I seen it. I seen it. Okay.
I have a friend who's a black girl going out with a white guy, and she walked past a group of like black boys, and she thought to herself, like, oh, this is gonna be a bit.
Where was she?
Eltham side, okay. Like Southeast London. Kind of, she's like, oh, this is gonna be a bit weird. Wherever she was in, like Soho, Hackney, all them gentrified sides. Mm. Now, she probably wouldn't be thinking about that. But even like when we were younger, like certain like. Remember, like secondary our friends, school. Yeah, secondary school.
Even my experience, my two experiences.
You can't really like be like, this is my girlfriend, this is my boyfriend, if they're white, because it's a bit like everyone would.
The man them
especially if it's a black girl, especially if it's a black girl and a white guy, like it weren't rated back in secondary school.
It wasn't really
a black girl and a white guy.
Because
everyone, do you know what I mean?
You can't really be going out and be saying like, this is my boyfriend. You can't be going to like Woolwich. You can't be going to, you can't be going to certain places. And in the same way, like you almost like you don't want to hold their hand. You don't really want to be like intimate with them or like touchy feely with them in public, because people are going
to
be looking at them.
To be fair, if black men stop being trash,
how do you mean?
First of all, I rebuke that. Dee Dee rebukes that.
I remember my experience when I was in secondary school. I was with two white girls.
Yes,
wait, at the same time? At the same time?
Demon.
I'm a was a pimp.
But I remember the second white girl I was with, yeah. I remember my boy telling me, yeah, oh, what, you like her? I was like, yeah. He's like, I feel like it's white girls. I felt a type of way, you know? I was like, wah. I was like, what? Yeah, like, I just like her. I wasn't thinking about the color, but I felt a type of way, and then like
you can't like, put you off in
it. Put me
you
off. Off. Say I broke up with her.
Yeah. See.
And ever since that day, my only day one.
Black women.
Yeah, your beard has been flourishing. Not coincidence.
What you say, bro? What you say,
that is
bro?
So funny. I can't remember what I was gonna say. Do you know what I was gonna say? I don't know if I'm taking the conversation left, but. It's interesting that we talk about Americans and like, oh yeah, you know, the black, you know, of accepting other forms of blackness, because I think what's commonly thought of amongst like black British people, because we identify so much with where we're actually from, like in terms of our heritage, like, you know, could say it's Ugandan, Afro-Nigerian, I'll say I'm Jamaican, and Americans, it's like African-American, and they don't really always know where they're necessarily from. Ooh. So for them to now come and say that, do you know what I mean? For them to now come and say, I'm about to walk into something here, but I think I'm walking into it. Because with African-Americans, there's this thing of kind of like, yeah, we're black, and oh wow, there's British people, there's black British people and all of this kind of stuff, but they don't always know where they're actually from. So how can you actually then say to a man, how can you talk about identity and say to a man who's Ugandan, who knows what it's like to be, do you know what I mean? Black African man in Britain, and you're telling him that he can't really like portray a certain thing. Whereas, Where's Samuel from?
Yeah, okay, so here's
where's Samuel from?
Right,
Kansas.
Okay, so here's.
Oh, I'm from California. It's like, well,
okay,
no, bro.
So here's my thing, and it's funny to me, and this is why I was saying earlier, making a distinction between like Black American, which I think is like an umbrella for any Black person who's American, and African American, which I think is just historically like Black people whose family have been in the country, you know, since I think the cutoff most people use is like the abolition of slavery in like the 1860s. Being here as an African American and having people ask me, well, where are you really from? And having to like hit people with the quick history lesson. But what's funny to me is when people of Caribbean descent say like, oh, where are you really from? I'm like, I'm American. They're like, oh, but do you know where your ancestors are really from? I'm like, do you know where your ancestors are really from?
I do.
No, hold on. And then they're like, well, what do you mean by that? I'm like, well, certainly you know that Black people aren't indigenous to the Caribbean.
No.
And that like my ancestors and your ancestors all came over. Yeah. You know, all came over. Shut
we
up.
Know exactly
so,
what our people from.
Congratulations. Thank you. So
thank you.
But we're not even going to touch on these countries because that just kind of got invented
go
by
ahead.
European superpowers. But
yes, true.
But yeah, I'm like you know, and people say that like, oh, you know, if where your ancestors are from? I'm like, well, if I could, you know, if I had a Ouija board and I did a séance with my ancestors, and we're like, are you from Nigeria? They'd be like, what's Nigeria? Because when they were taken from Africa, Nigeria didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
That was invented. I'm just kind of like they probably say a tribe, and if I'm talking to all my ancestors, they probably name like 20 tribes.
Yep.
But I think people don't really understand the nuance of like. I guess like not just Black Americans, because there's a lot of nuance too. Like Evelyn and I we're both Black American, but we have unique experiences because she's first generation Ghanaian American. Yeah. I'm, you know, African American. She'll also have a distinct experience from somebody who's like fourth generation Ghanaian American. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, the whole where do they come from and like Black American culture. Like, let's be clear. Like, Black American culture is globally known. Like,
it's the culture.
I wouldn't say that. That was Evelyn talking, y'all.
What do you mean it's the culture?
That wasn't deep.
Is that just because you guys produce movies and it gets like around the world? And, like,
all right, I'm gonna tell you guys. This is just the argument, right? Mm-hmm. America is a cultural. America's greatest export is culture. More than anything,
I was gonna say bombs, but I don't know. Feds watching. No. God bless America.
American culture means that I can walk into any McDonald's anywhere in the world and get whatever I want. That's American culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Black American culture. No, it's American.
I love McDonald's
culture.
Too.
No, because we are all Americans, yeah. Right? So it's American culture. So Black American culture, by sheer proxy of American cultural hegemony, Black American culture is a dominant culture. in the world. So saying black people are the culture is to say Americans create so much culture and it's everywhere. Mm. So think about it this way. You know all of the music that I listen to.
Yeah.
I have to make an effort to listen to grime. And I only do because I'm marrying one.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you're marrying a grime?
I'm marrying a black British teasing. Person.
It's funny because you know grimy is New York slang like yes. for like a bad thing. A bad like person, grime.
Yeah, but yeah. I make an effort to listen to black British music, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm trying to be better. You know, I'm going to be able to understand the conversations. People are talking about stuff.
I think
I want to know. But you don't, I'm making an effort. I don't need, like, I can assume.
I think that's because of what's exported, though. Because, like, even if, like for example, and it brings us round to the Daniel Kaluuya thing as well. The fact that he had to go to America and do these things, and Idris has to do it, and all the Tandy Newton and all these actors, is because here on the ground, we don't have that space for black creators or actors to actually excel at what they do. And which brings me back to the fact that, which kind of brings me back to the fact that Samuel L. Jackson saying that over here because we're more accepted and, you know, we're like you say, it was like a multicultural society when you came. It shows that it's actually really not. It might seem like that on the ground, but when you get to the in terms of like the art form and things like that, black people don't succeed here when it comes to acting and stuff, and that's why John has to go and do Star Wars. That's why Letitia has to go be Shuri.
But that also goes back to identity. Remember when I was saying that, you know, I think over the past 20-30 years we started to cultivate our own identity and create something that is ours and be proud of.
I think so. Because and Drake is jumping on the bandwagon. Drake is jumping on the bandwagon.
On every bandwagon.
Y'all know, but hold on. Y'all know that what he's doing, he has that exposure in Toronto as well.
Of course. That's how it is. Exactly.
If you go to Brooklyn, first week in September, there's no difference. So it's not. You can't say that he's co-opting just London because that there's elements. If you go to parts of Brooklyn, you go to parts out in the Bronx, White Plains Road. You really feel like you're in a little Kingston. So you.
I hear that.
But I think with us, I think with London, it's slightly different because it's not just Caribbean culture that is, you know, that is being exposed in this city. I think it's also Nigerian culture, you know, UK.
A lot more now.
That is due to the influence of Nigerians. Bang bang.
Why you make that face though? You know,
they're everywhere. You can't escape them.
They're everywhere. Get out.
For me, I forgot my point.
Good. My point, joking. But basically, it'll come back to you, bro.
Yeah, it'll come back.
Why is Samuel coming for Daniel and not coming for Idris Elba?
Oh yeah, because Idris Elba was in The Wire.
Did American Gangster with Denzel Washington, and it's like it's almost a thing.
American Gangster.
Yeah. He was the one that got shot, like, and then so Denzel came out
with the firm.
He was.
Came back in the shop and was like,
carried on his conversation.
Hey, we watch it. It's
fun
actually
fact for you guys. Yeah. Did you guys see Idris Elba in the Fat Joe music video? All I Need Is You.
No.
Was he in it?
Oh, right.
Idris be doing stuff, Idris, man.
My question is, is Samuel coming for Daniel because he's young, he's new into the game, and he's kind of like taking a role where everyone's praising him now because of it, and it's such a big role, or he's not coming for Idris because Idris is kind of...
This is going to sound so controversial, but I feel as if...
What's wrong with you?
I feel as if Samuel L. Jackson is coming at Daniel Kaluuya like how the white people come after the Mexicans in America. Like, took our jobs.
Wow.
They're taking our jobs.
Yeah. Samuel is just fulfilling that Django role that he was playing, boy. That's what I'm saying. He's just coming after his own. It be your own people, okay?
It be your own people. You know what it is? That's not even a hot take, but just think about it. Think about this way, right? Even in, like, when I look on TV here, there are no black people on TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Hardly.
If you look on TV in America, there are black people on TV. Not as much as there needs to be, but there are black people on TV. So if you have a role like Get Out, for example, which nobody knew was going to be that movie. They did that movie on like a $4 million budget. Nobody knew Blue Mouse was going to blow up that way. But if there's maybe 10 roles, right? And if the 10 few roles that we do have, all of a sudden maybe 8 of them are going to homegrown American talent, and it's going to maybe two foreigners, two British people or whatever, mm-hmm. right? That's good. That's great, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is it seems like there's been more and more steam taking away jobs from Americans,
this
black
is
Americans.
True.
But and which is not a bad thing because we're all niggas. We're all we'll in this
trying,
together.
Yeah.
We're all trying
yeah.
to get on. But the problem is black Americans can't come here and do stuff on.
But that's because British Americans. British people can't.
And that's the problem because think about it. For decades, millennia, centuries, black people in America had to fight to get even the little scraps that we have.
Yeah.
And instead of us, black people who are living in this country, to build up the same infrastructure that we have in America, we're going to America to do it, which means who's here breaking the ceiling? Do you know what I mean?
So this
is, hold on, no, just, Afo, just think. Right now, yeah, no one is here cracking that ceiling, right? No one is here cracking that ceiling.
David Oyelowo.
Or at least not to the degree that it's happening. Who's the British Shonda Rhimes?
Shonda Rhimes.
Who's the British Shonda Rhimes?
There isn't. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to
think. But that's
there are people, but yeah.
I'm not saying, I know about Michaela Cole. That's my girl. She's Ghanaian. Like, Michaela I'm here Cole, for yeah. everything that they're doing. But I'm saying, if you only use the American infrastructure, that means you're not building it up here.
Yeah.
If every time, just that it's... It's when you think about it, you know how we talk about the brain drain and how our parents all left Africa and the Caribbean to come and build up America or build up England, and now we're all going back to our country. When you think about it, it's a talent drain. We're draining all this talent from here to go to America. You need to build up this infrastructure here.
I do believe
because black Americans can't come over here and kill it here because there's no infrastructure for them. Do you get it?
I personally do believe that we are building something here because we've had this conversation before, and I know it's not visible to the common person. If you're interested and invested in theatre and arts in this country, then you will know that something is being built.
Top Boy.
Exactly. A Top Boy is a...
No.
Top Boy is kind of an anomaly. Really.
There's like that black guy that's the director of like the old Vic, young Vic. Who's the black guy who's like a director?
I'll give you a great example. Yeah. So you see, John Boyega, he's got a production company. He's doing a film that is that's going to be directed by somebody called Sebastian Thiel. So I know Sebastian.
Oh, the light skinned guy.
Yeah, light skinned.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Yeah, Sebastian. What?
Look at colorism.
What was he in?
He's a director. What did didn't he do? What did he do?
He had an entertainment company called.
Yeah.
Is it Upfront?
Yeah, Upfront or something like that.
Upfront,
yeah.
Something like that. So it is being built. Again, is it to the degree of what the Americans have built? No,
America's but I think that's because of the scale. That's to do with the scale. Like British people, what have we got? Like 66 million people in this country.
Yeah, you guys
or
have
something
time
like that. You guys have like Texas alone is bigger than the UK. Do you know what I mean?
You
so it's like for me, because the infrastructure is just naturally going to be a lot bigger and huger.
Yeah, I don't see it at all.
What do you mean here?
As in,
so we've got like the Michaela Cole.
Yeah,
we've got. But you guys have got like
you
over
got
there. You've got you've got Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah.
There's a new.
But you have
I think
to understand. But you have to understand. Wait a second. Shonda Rhimes now has the whole Thursday.
You gonna
right?
say her name right or not?
Shonda.
Shonda.
Shonda. She now owns Thursday, right? But she didn't start. Like, it wasn't like she woke up overnight and now she has the whole Thursday lineup on ABC.
Yeah.
Like, she started her career small. She wrote Crossroads, the Britney Spears movie that bombed. Like, she built up... No, that's not shade.
No, she tried.
But that's like, you have to build that up. That took time. Like, I've been watching Grey's Anatomy for like 14 years.
Right.
That takes time. I'm just saying... If you don't build that infrastructure at home, and if you just travel the road in America because it's easier, it's easier to do. It's easier to be a greatest success in America because BBC won't forgive him. I remember, I think Idris when he went before Parliament, he was talking about how
diversity.
I had to go do The Wire in America before they gave me Luther.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
Luther shouldn't have had to. Idris shouldn't have had to go to America to
come back on
The Wire and then come here and be Luther. He should have got Luther because he's a great talent.
Right.
If y'all always have to go to America, that's taking talent.
But
away
you
from
can
the UK.
But you can say that about artists as well. Like our biggest exports are Ed Sheeran, music wise, Ed Sheeran, Adele, Sam Smith. These are all British talent. And in order for us to make money and break, you know, globally, we have to go over to the big machine, which
this
is the US.
What I say.
So if you don't here, you know, British TV and film is very traditional. You know, we're known for things. What's that ITV show that comes on? Not Coronation Street, no.
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. We're known for things like Downton Abbey, the Young Vic, Old Vic Theatre and things like that. It's very British and traditional and old. There's nothing modern, really, that has been coming out. Unlike now. Like, I'll just throw a few names of people that I feel like are going to be the Shonda Rhimes of tomorrow in the UK. So you've got Michaela Cole. You've got Tom Mucci. You've got...
What did Tom Mucci do?
So Tom Mucci's got this new show called Famalam, which is dropping on April 9th. Oh, yeah. I was just with him today.
Former Tommy Expensive.
Yeah. Former Tommy Expensive. He was a comedian, British comedian, but he's got a new show coming on BBC Three. And I was with him today and he was telling us about the whole journey and everything. And... So he's and he was in the writer's room in the BBC for that. Do you know what I mean? So people are coming in and writing. So him, John Boyega, but what's it? I'm talking about like content creators, Michael Dapper. Yeah.
Damson Idris.
All right, he's gone to the US though. He's doing Malachi Kirby. Yeah. Who else, what's that guy? The one before Michael Dapper.
Kaede Awumi.
These are people that are writing things that are gonna be, you know, the kind and of the Shonda Rhimes of tomorrow, and building the infrastructure.
Those are the people that are in the spotlight. I don't know about the writers that are in the background, that keep a low profile, or those who are in production. Like I said, John Bagan.
We have to go to the big machine. Exactly. Like, we have to go to the big machine. I'm so Adele will not be as big as she would be if she did not cross over and break into America. She wouldn't be because no one would know her. Amy Winehouse, same thing.
I don't disagree with you on that point. Yes, because America has the machine. If you want to be a big actor, you have to go to Hollywood.
Right.
That's going to happen wherever, black or white. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that, just to bring it back to the Samuel L. Jackson point, if you're a black in America, right, you can't come to England and get it. What are you going to do here? Where are you going to go?
You could do theater. Thingy's here.
What's his name?
He's in Chicago.
Cuba.
Gooding. He's in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in Chicago.
Now that we named that one black person.
Yeah, he's doing that. So I think
theater's big here.
Yeah, it's big here.
Britain is known for its theater, West End.
Yeah, but Britain needs to be known for its black community, because the black community here has a really beautiful story.
I think Idris is enough. People aren't stirring that up now.
I saw that he's doing like a show. I don't want to say it's like Everybody Hates Chris, but I'm just imagining
he's doing a show similar to that, and he's got another film that's coming up that's based around Caribbean heritage in the UK.
That would be interesting. I want to see more of that. But you see, this is the thing though. There's so much, like, legit, from when I wake up in the morning to when I go to sleep at night, I don't have, like, I can just not watch anything British and completely be in my culture. Like,
I'm trying to think what I watch that's British, really.
I don't watch anything. I'm just trying to think. No, like, when I'm sitting at home.
When it comes to black British stuff, like, I'll watch black British
stuff. No, black British stuff will watch, but you know like what I mean? Like,
I watch a lot of stuff.
Chewing gum.
There's only 6 episodes. Like, boom. No, she got... I'm done. I'm seen it already.
Or, like, Top Boy.
Seen it. Done.
Do you know what we had? Remember the MTV show... Dubplate Drama, which was an MTV series that had like a lot of our grime artists. Shiesty was in it. We have a lot of stuff like that. The only issue I would say with black British stuff is that the narrative tends to be very similar. It tends to be around, you know, ghettoized children.
That's why I also Black Brothers with No Game, because that's a great example of something that is relatable to the common black man and black woman.
Yep, exactly.
It's only on YouTube, so that's
But
our YouTube be popping, like, you know, we can't deny that, man.
Our YouTube
is popping, though. It's popping.
Smokey Barbers. Jazzy, the comedian. Smokey Barbers.
That was old, though, bro. But
Desmond's. We had Desmond's back in the day.
My old man tried to put me onto that, and I was like,
get on it. That was Peckham. That was the heart of Peckham. Caribbean family in the heart of Peckham.
I tried.
With an African friend.
I was like, I don't know about
my mom used to watch that growing up.
It was so sick. We had a lot. I think, do you know what? We were actually so ahead of our time back in the day, we were so ahead of our time. So when people go, there's never been black British TV. I'm like, no, that's a lie, because there has been.
I don't know enough about that.
There's a lot, man.
Desmond's, you know, Jeffrey in Fresh Prince? Jeffrey was actually in Desmond's show.
EastEnders, which is one of our longest running soaps in the UK. We've had black actors in it for years, but the issue is with soap operas, which is probably similar in America as well, is that once you're a soap opera actor, you don't go nowhere beyond that. You kind of just are known for that character. So like people like Patrick, I would say he's one of, like, you know, Britain's top actors. Do you know what I mean? But he limited himself in the sense of there was no movie roles or anything like that. It was just EastEnders. So,
And this takes it back to the question. Yeah. This takes it back to the question. Do African Americans acknowledge?
No, nope, black Americans.
Do black Americans? There's a difference. There's a difference.
African Americans.
I'm learning. Black there's Americans. A difference. Yeah.
Black Americans.
African Americans.
Black Americans. Do black Americans. That includes me and Evelyn. African Americans is just me, then Evelyn couldn't talk anymore.
So do Black Americans allow for any other forms of blackness?
Black Americans.
So what are your thoughts and as to whether do you agree with Samuel? Do you think that Black Americans do allow for other forms of blackness? Do you guys think it's about you guys and that's it, and you guys set the tone for the rest of Black people around the world? No, what are your personal views?
I just think it is easy for me to wake up in the morning and only engage. Black American culture without trying. Like, I don't have to make an effort. I could just open my phone. Twitter's gonna be talking about something very relevant to me.
$200 dates.
$200
when
dates.
When people talk about that here, I'm like, what? Do the conversion to pounds. I know.
To do the people that you follow, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, to the people that you follow, yeah.
It's to do the people that you follow.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? I follow, like, but Alpha knows, I be in Black British Twitter. Yeah.
Me too, actually.
I do try to, like,
yeah,
get...
Yeah, but she just be clowning us instead.
Don't do that. I'm with mad followers tomorrow.
She'll just send me DMs and, like, just jokes about Americans taking the piss out of British people.
For shame, Evelyn.
You know, I'm marrying a British guy. They're not enough.
That's true.
I'm marrying.
We thank you for your service.
I'm into it. You know, it's just I don't have to try. I have to try to get into Black British culture, which I'm trying to do because I don't want to be the kind of American that's like. Because even remember when we were at work and you were like, Evelyn, do you listen to? I'm not skeptical.
I said Retri too.
Who? What?
I said Retri 2 because I thought he would be.
Is that how you say his name? Yeah. I thought it was Retch 32, and that's just because it's like
I used to think
British guy that I have been dealing with made me listen to the album. It was I.
And the reason I mentioned him because I thought it'd be the best person for you to listen to because I know there's no way you're gonna get into Graham. And I would
not true. I listened to the Skepta album. I thought it was very good. I liked it very much.
I thought it was great. I liked the Skepta album. Okay, I'm a big fan of Riley Ritchie.
I like Riley Ritchie.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I really like Riley.
Oh, we did listen to that one time.
That's a good album.
But he's singing, right? Yeah. Like, you don't really know that he's British.
He is British, though.
But when he's singing, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, but they all sing in American
accents. Mm, I'll work on that.
That's what
he's in it, though.
Dead.
Riley's in it. All y'all sing in American
We do.
Y'all sing in
Ed Sheeran doesn't.
I think you stand out when you sing in a British accent. Shaka. No, he doesn't.
And Afu, you know better. This is the thing. Like even my old man would tell you. Like I make an effort. She don't know who Dave is. She don't know who like rap. She don't care about none of this stuff. I at least make the effort. Like I'll make the effort. Like you know what? This is what the Black British kid youth them are listening to. Let me be involved. Let me see what the youth are talking about. Effort. She don't make no effort, and she doesn't have to because you don't have to because it's just like, well, why would I make the effort when?
Okay, so
Chris Brown and Tricky just about to release this Fuego. Like, it's just there's no need to.
So first of all, let me pull myself up from underneath the bus that Evelyn threw me under. I do listen to increasingly like Black British music. I've dated. I thought his name was Retch 32, but apparently it's not. It's Retch 32. But I did listen to that album. He has that song, His and Her Point of View. Yeah. Right. That was like a very touching. So do you know that song, Evelyn?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. So
I said I want them to play gigs with an excursion at the wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
So what, we dance until Whipping Excursion?
That song is Fuego.
What?
That song is Fuego.
Anyway, right. So I have made an effort. There are some Black British influencers that I don't follow them on Twitter, but I check out their page. You know, that follower to followee ratio is important. But yeah, I do try. But I think to a certain extent, I think Americans, I love us, but we can be very self-centered. And not really focus on the world around us. And I think that the rest of the world enables us to do that by, blindly ingesting our culture. And just, also paying a lot of attention to us. Like, I joke that America's, like, the most popular girl in high school where you're like, oh, my God, she's so self-centered. But you're always on her social media. Like, maybe just turn away from her and maybe she'll still be self-centered. Or maybe she'll look around and be like, oh, I'm not, the center of the universe anymore. Like, we don't know because I think for the past, however long America's been, I guess, like, the leader. I don't what is that, like, post-World War II or something like that. But it's just one of those things. And I think bringing it back to, like, I think the distinction between like Samuel L. Jackson, who's African American, and like, well, not necessarily Evelyn, you're here. Like Evelyn, who's Ghanaian American, by virtue of you being Ghanaian American or Black American, you have a better understanding of the world and the Black diaspora because you have family. You know, do you have family here?
You know, I do.
Yeah, Evelyn has family here. You know, you have family in Africa. If you think about like the standard Caribbean American person, they got family in Toronto. They got family in England. They got family in.
Might have family in France.
They might have family in France. Like they have family all over. Versus if you're African American, we haven't had to make that move. Generally it's just been, I mean, you have African-American expats historically, you know, James Baldwin in France and Josephine Baker and stuff like that, but generally we haven't felt the need to leave America. No. So you're not like inherently cognizant of the fact that there are Black people in other parts of the world, whereas if you're Black American but not African American, you know you have family all over and you're always aware of these other Black communities. So it's just, you know, Americans being self-censored just in general, African Americans not necessarily having that same global diaspora. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the need to even understand it. Like, you definitely should. I've gained so much from being here and even being from New York and being around different types of Black people, where some of my friends who are like from Detroit and Atlanta only know African American stuff, like have never had jerk chicken, have never even heard of jollof rice. I don't know anything. I know. I love me some. shout out to Nigerian jollof. You haven't cooked Ghanaian jollof. But anyway, I say that to say, like, it's not intentional. We just self-centered in America. I don't know. I mean, y'all.
So do you think if we actually turned our eyes away from America, and I guess it's more of a question for you guys. What do you think?
But I think Americans are...
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, no. But I'm always like, are you that trash? Like, not that, like, just, that is like bottom of the barrel stuff.
You know, it's funny because, like, I would liken that to kind of like, you know, when you see what was that show in America called with Snooki and all of them lot and Jersey Shore, and then obviously we've got our Geordie Shore over here and stuff like that. Yeah. And when you think about how bottom of the barrel that is UK, Geordie Shore, but yet we will watch the Jersey Shore and be like, oh my gosh, they're doing this and they're doing this. And like for us, I grew up on American TV. So my TV was like, we had Nickelodeon. So it was Kenan and Kel, it was Amanda Bynes show. It was My Wife and Kids. It was One on One. It was Fresh Prince. It was all of that stuff. All of Us, Half and Half. That is where, like, that's what we grew up on. And we used to bust joke about it in school and stuff. And I feel like it's true. We've inherited a lot of that American culture. Like we just because that's what our TV stations were giving us.
The only, and I don't even know if you watched it, the only British TV show I watched growing up was Keeping Up Appearances.
I never heard of that in my life.
Watch that.
Oh, was it that old white lady? Yeah, that's my G's.
I aspire to be to her level. But that's the only British show I ever watched. And we're talking about, and my parents are Ghanaian, so they like, get it. Like, my dad would only be like, no. And my dad would read the New York Times and watch
BBC.
That's where he gets his news from. And even me, I was like, look, I only watch one show on BBC, on Baby's Played on PBS. Like,
yeah, we're, and I think
we don't get Desmond.
Yeah, you don't get none of that. Because do you guys find like American TV funny? Because I'm just gonna throw this out. I'm just gonna throw it out because when I used to watch like That's So Raven and stuff, when I used to go and visit my cousins in America, I'd be like, well, this is real life. Like this is actually how they are. But we over here, we're like, ah, this is so funny. But I'm like. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's kind of like
Americans are crazy.
Yeah, you lot are nuts. Recycle? But we're over on this side of the river. We're like, oh, this is hilarious. But when I actually go over to the States, I'm like, no, this is actually how Americans are. So where's the comedic value? Yeah,
these are the kind of things they say.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Do you guys find those kind of shows funny? Like that My whole, Wife and Kids.
I mean, I love.
Yeah, that was my relationship goal. Yeah. Same, that was mine as well.
Your wife and your kids. Until
they changed Claire, man. I don't know why they did that.
There's a real reason.
What did she do?
There was a reason. Like, the mum didn't... Black Claire's mum didn't want her to continue on the show.
And so they replaced her with light-skinned Claire?
Who was now an idiot. Yeah, who was, do you know what I mean, on the show?
Personality of Claire.
Complete. She was smart. Do you know who Claire reminds me of? You know the little girl in Blackish from Blackish.
Blackish,
the young daughter. Is Claire as a child, man. That was the original Claire, but then they changed her, man.
Oh my god. So yeah, speaking of black shows, I do love. I just started rewatching Blackish, and I think that's Blackish such a good show. That's a random tangent. But yeah, I think if y'all turned away, I feel like in this country, y'all need to like, and maybe it's not like, maybe it's not like a British identity, but I'm like, yeah. Like love yourselves and like obsess over yourselves. Like not to, I mean, to a certain extent you could say maybe, oh, that's what created Brexit. Like people trying to be too into this like British identity, like British versus everybody or like self-centered. But I think, I don't know. It's a really interesting dynamic to me here where I feel like, and this isn't even on like a black British thing, just as a whole, I'm like, focus on what's cool about y'all and like amplify that. Whereas I feel like the British.
I don't like Americans.
Oh, wait, I don't. Wait, that took a turn.
No, I guess we do, like with hood documentaries. Like, yes. There are people that are coming out that are making us love it. Like Michael Dapper did the, what's it, the
Big Shot.
Swill, where he does like different personalities, but only Big Shaq kind of made it out to America. That the thing goes,
but that was so like so unexpected. That was not what he was about.
And
before.
I had to explain to my friends back home. I was like, no, there are good black British rappers because they think that's like no, literally. No, I promise you,
they be cussing gigs, man.
I promise you, like I was home over Christmas and somebody was like, I was at a house party and they're like, oh, you live in London, and they put that song and they're like, oh, this is British rap. I was like, no, they're actually really good, like that's the thing. I'm defensive about y'all when I go home now.
I'm always taking bullets for y'all. All the time.
Like, I may not hang out with y'all all the time, but I'm going to defend y'all.
Every time I go home, oh, Emily's still there with your tea drinking people. And I'm like, nah, they're cool.
We drink tea.
We drink tea. And they just think, we drink tea and what, mate?
And what, mate? I'm always taking bullets for y'all.
So yeah, like I said, like what y'all have that is awesome, like amplify that, get that out to the world, and by, you know, black British people going to America, like even with Michaela Cole, how now she's doing something with Netflix, like I hope that it's something like black British oriented, like focusing, bringing the spotlight on y'all, because that's another thing, like Chewing Gum, I love the show, but I want people to also see like the nuance of the black British experience, because also some people, they watch Chewing Gum and they're like, oh, we see what the projects are like over there. I'm like, they're black people with money over there too, like
you see, I think that will come when we are more, where we are putting out content that is real to us, because I find that Americans, especially black Americans, are interested in the way that we live, us black Brits live. Do you know what I mean? So if we're giving them stuff that actually goes on rather than jokes and da da da, where we actually give them something like, this is how our life is, they will actually take it on. They'll be like, okay, I want to know how they live. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't, I mean, I guess they don't know too much of the culture. Like, I remember, like, someone that I was seeing or whatever.
Okay.
I showed her Top Boy. She watched it all the way through with interest, like, because she's like,
was she not British?
Huh?
No, she wasn't. She was from Texas.
So like, she loved Top Boy because it was something different. And like, oh, like they actually like that. The people don't know that there are gangs out here. People get shot out here as well. Like they think that we just
don't like it.
They think we don't like it, but they don't know that we go through stuff here as well. Do you know what I mean? Like we get scared when we get on buses and we see big black guys with like just masks and bandanas. Like I remember like a year ago I saw someone that is a gang, used to be like into gangs and that. Yeah, I saw him the other day. I turned the other way. I was like, I ain't
not today, Satan.
Like he still looks scary. Like he's still wearing black and everything. Like he was, and I was just like, yeah, I'm going the other way. And it's real for us, so we need to like share our reality in order for them to take it on.
Yeah,
if we share what we see them doing or we want to be like them, let's say, then it won't be. Do you know what I mean?
And that's the only way to allow another form of blackness. Yeah, is if you actually show another form of blackness try and be the. Yeah.
And I guess that's why Michael Dapper, Big Shaq is actually. They're taking it on as like reality because he's come out with the tingles.
My cousins loved it in Florida. They loved it.
And all these other words, we're dressing like it, and they're like, "Raw, this is how they are."
My cousins in America were like, "Is that how they are over there?" I'm like,
how we are, but a bit more serious. Like, if you actually saw someone dressed like Big Shaq, you wouldn't want to like go near to him and go the thing goes correct because the thing will go correct.
But that is a cultural. When you think about it, he did something so smart there, because that's actually a cultural reference. Thing. Like man's not hot. Like man will wear a coat and be like, "I'm like, not hot, bro." But it's summer. It's middle of summer.
You'll see brothers wearing the puffer jackets. In summertime.
Yeah. He was actually giving us something real, and we found it funny because
we relate to it. We identify.
Because we'll be going out in the summer, and I'll see a roadman wearing a coat, bomber jacket, and everything. Nah, and I'm thinking, hot.
right, isn't he like, he looks hot.
He looks hot.
Like, he looks like he's, aren't you sweating?
Like, Ev right now with his coat on.
He would say, yeah, yeah. He would say something like, man's not hot. And that's exactly what he'd actually say.
And then you made this, like,
if
you know.
If you catch a new thing in the summertime and he's still on Tim, then you like, my nigga, you not hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys really be wearing Tim's all the time and your New York Yankee hat.
I kind of outgrew that.
Watch baseball.
If I
like
see a black guy, 6'4", blue jeans, Tim's, white tee, New York fitted. If I wasn't engaged, I'd probably give him my number.
No, there you go, bro.
Tim's, you know.
FYI.
Because of the Tim's.
I agree.
This is a man walking with the Lord, and I'm about to.
Tim's, you know.
Don't come up on me with some Tim's. That's my type.
I love it. But we need to celebrate ourselves, and that's like things like Hood documentary. That was cool as well.
Hood documentary, Top Boy. You know.
To be fair, though, like I said, I want to see the nuance, because I feel like sometimes, and this is like a global black thing. A lot of times we feel like the story that we have to show is the Real Housewives or We in the Hood, and like like those are people's stories too, and
that's
it's important to get those stories, but it's
stories.
Not everybody's story. So
it's
I'd love to see you know the story about people that like recently immigrated and learning to like assimilate in this culture. I want to see the story about the black kid that's, you know, third generation in his family going to Cambridge. Like I want to see all of that. We got to get all those stories out so people can understand the nuance of, because I don't want us to just be like, oh, they got poor black people over there too. Like I'm you know I'm tired of seeing global. we suffered in solidarity.
Tired of that narrative, man.
Yeah, like I want to see it all.
Because we do have people coming over from Africa, like children coming into schools from Africa, being called Freshie and stuff. So that's
and these are real. These are real stories.
Wait, Freshie? Is that supposed to be an insult? Or something?
Yeah. Like fresh off the boat. Fresh off
like
the boat.
Freshie? I'd be like, Freshie.
Oh no! You don't want to be no Freshie.
No, you don't want to be no Freshie here.
Yeah, no, over here.
That was an insult, man. Like you couldn't be fresh. Like you couldn't even talk about your own foods from your country and that, like, because you'll be called fresh.
Yeah.
You couldn't be. And these are other Africans calling you fresh, by the way. That have the same foods when they go home.
Ooh.
Literally, yeah.
They be acting fresh in front of them.
So, like, say for instance, in secondary school, high school, if you dared bring in jollof rice or pounded yam or anything,
jollof rice got accepted because
jollof rice was accepted.
Who doesn't love jollof rice?
Yes, that's exactly the example. That's the example I was going to use.
Oh my god!
No, but if they tried to bring in pounded yam in that year,
that's kind of bad.
Then it's kind of bad. Like you can't be doing that. You're going to be called fresh the rest of your life. Yeah. 100. Then the same people calling you fresh will go home and eat pounded yam. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, we need to celebrate ourselves. Just embrace ourselves as well. Like,
To conclude,
I've been an enemy of that as well.
We need to embrace ourselves. Is what y'all are saying.